Tonight, the theme is the Bible is right, and now confession. And our speaker that's been selected for tonight, Brother Antoine Holloway, evangelist of the North Side Church of Christ in Tucson, Arizona. Okay, Brother Holloway, give it to us. Let us know what the Bible is right about this matter.
Amen, Brother. Amen, Brother Brooks. I just want to thank you once again for the invitation, and I want to thank you and all the brothers who have worked so hard and sisters that have worked so hard to put this together. What you have accomplished has been a monumental feat and has been much needed for times like these, whether a pandemic or no pandemic. People need to hear more about the word of Almighty God, and I'm just so thankful that you have selected me once again to come and speak a word from on high. That comes directly from the Bible to try to help some troubled soul, wherever they may be. If they are outside of Christ, that they will repent and come to Christ. If they are sick and sleepy spiritually, that only Jesus can give them this rest, and hopefully they'll receive that rest on today. And to those Christians that may have fallen away for whatever reason, that God would give them the opportunity to be restored and reconciled to him before it's eternally and everlasting too late. I have to also say that I'm just very thankful that out of all the subjects that I've been asked to speak on for this week, that confession was chosen for me. To those that are familiar with me, we have a radio program called Show Me the Scripture, in which we do a live call-in radio program every Saturday here in Tucson, Arizona, that can be heard anywhere you have the internet. And we're on Facebook. It's 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time every Saturday, in which people call in with their Bible questions. They receive a Bible answer. And it was about a year ago we were in Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, we had two brothers in Christ that called and wanted to debate and contend with the fact that we were teaching that confession was essential to salvation. And first it blew my mind because I expect this from some other people, but I did not expect this from people in our own backyard. And so we had to go to the text and show so much information. So this particular subject has a special place in my heart, because when we talk about salvation, we tend to place the emphasis on baptism and what we hear and that we really need to believe and even repentance, but there isn't a lot spoken in regards to confession, and I'm just so thankful that I'm able to speak on this subject tonight. And so if you have your personal copy of God's Word, please turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. The chapter is 8. The verses are 35 through 38. 35 through 38. There you will find these words. The Bible reads, "Then Philip opened his mouth, And beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Verse 37, "And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he replied, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." It is from that passage of scripture that I would like to draw upon the blackboards of your minds and preach from the subject, the ABCs of confession. The ABCs of confession. I know many of us may be using different translations of the Holy Scriptures on tonight, and so I am using the English Standard Version. And so if it reads slightly different than your New King James, your NASB, or your KJV, just know that it's the same Word of God, and we are going to come to the conclusion and the understanding of truth as we open our hearts and open our minds to receive with meekness this engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. And so let us begin on tonight. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, is the third of nine conversion narratives in the book of Acts. Yes, there are many commands, there are diverse examples, and countless inescapable conclusions, regarding the soul's salvation in this inspired fifth book of the New Testament, chronicling the first 30 years of the church's existence. But this narrative, next to the conversion on Pentecost, may be the most familiar among 21st century Christians because we have an example we can point to without explanation, showing the absolute necessity of confession. In this message on tonight, I will show 4 points about confession that every sinner and saint must know. I will go in the order of the alphabet, starting with the letter A and ending with the letter D. And in this same progression, we will begin with the soul outside the covenant of God and end with the soul standing before God in judgment. And so our first point on this evening is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. There you will find these words. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so based upon that verse, our first point on this evening is confessing Christ is an acknowledgement. Confessing Christ is an acknowledgement. The A is for acknowledgement. This is what we must do in order to be saved. To acknowledge Christ means to admit that Jesus is real, that Jesus is true, that Jesus is authentic. We recognize that he is who he says he is. He is the Son of the living God. According to the text of Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, this confession comes by having Jesus preach unto us. Therefore, through this confession, we acknowledge that he was born of a virgin. We acknowledge that his miracles were real. We believe that he is deity. He lived a sinless life. He has all authority. And because he is Lord, we submit to his rule. Confession has many antonyms. The opposite of this confession would be a denial. When it comes to our salvation, we are either acknowledging Jesus or we are denying Jesus. There is no in between. If we confess Christ on earth, then Jesus gives us his word that he will acknowledge us before his Father in heaven and the angels. Listen to your Bible. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Also in Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, Jesus said, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Jesus demands that we make the same confession about him that he made about himself. For this reason, the young preacher Timothy was reminded by the apostle Paul that he had made this confession. For no man can be saved in the absence of this confession. Listen to your Bible in 1 Timothy. The chapter is 6 and the verses are 12 and 13. 1 Timothy, the chapter is 6. And the verses are 12 and 13. The Bible reads, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made," get this now, "the good confession." How did you do it? "In the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate did what? Made the good confession. My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, confessing Christ does something uniquely to sin that these other commands don't do in regards to iniquity. We must hear the gospel about Jesus. The reason why we need to hear the gospel about Jesus is because hearing destroys the ignorance of sin. We must believe the gospel about Jesus. Why do we need to believe the gospel? Because believing destroys the love of sin. We must repent of our transgressions. Why must we repent? Because repentance destroys the practice of sin. We must be baptized in water, meeting the blood of Jesus, because baptism destroys the status of sin. And we must remain faithful unto death, or even if it means death. And the reason for that is because faithfulness destroys the power of sin. Yet, my friends, between repentance and baptism, there is something we must do. We must confess Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And why must we make this confession? It is because confession destroys the allegiance to sin. We are vocalizing with our mouths in a very public manner that we will no longer serve sin. We will only serve Jesus. By this acknowledgement, we are pledging our allegiance to Christ and accepting the accountability that comes with wearing the name Christian. Let's move on to our second point. Our second point is found in Mark chapter 14, verses 61 and 62. In Mark chapter 14, verse 61 and 62, the Bible reads, "But he," talking about Jesus, "remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said," listen to his answer, "Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" And so if the A for confession is acknowledgement, the B for confession is being bold, bold. Confessing Christ is bold. This is what we must do in living faithfully. To live faithfully is to live boldly. Confessing Christ is bold because it is not hesitating or being fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. Confessing Christ is both courageous and daring. Just look at the evidence in Scripture. Jesus was killed. Think about that. Jesus acknowledged he was the Son of God, and he was killed for making this confession. This was bold, because Jesus was fully aware of the consequences for making such a confession before the Jewish nation. Listen to your Bible. In John chapter 9, verse 22, John chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible reads his parents, and just to give context to this, the parents is dealing with the parents of the blind man that Jesus has healed. And there were consequences for confessing Christ in the synagogue. So when they came to the parents wanting to know how the boy was healed, they passed the buck to the son and said, "He's grown, he's of age, you ask him," because they knew the penalty of giving God and giving Jesus glory in that context. And so John chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible reads his parents, the parents of the blind man, said these things. Why? Because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. We see a similar context later on in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, the Bible reads, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." The Apostle Peter is a cautionary tale of how easy it is to acknowledge Christ in an edifice, but deny him throughout the environment. Listen to your Bible. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible reads, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This confession was in the presence of Jesus and the other apostles. However, after Jesus in Mark chapter 14, verse 61 and 62, affirmed that he himself was the Son of the Blessed, Peter's confession quickly turned to a denial because he didn't want what was about to happen to Christ to happen to him. Listen to your Bible. In Mark chapter 14, verse 66 through 72, Mark chapter 14, verse 66 through 72, the Bible reads, "And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him before the rooster crows twice, 'You will deny me three times.' And he broke down and wept." And so this is just to say that it's easy for us to stand before a group of believers and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." But will we make that same confession when we stand before people that don't know our Lord, that don't know our God, that don't know our Jesus? As Christians, this confession is more than what we say, but it will manifest itself in our profession and eliminate to all bystanders who we are and who we are not. This confession identifies the spirit that is actually guiding us. Listen to your Bible. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, John chapter 4, and the verses are 2 and 3, the Bible reads, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." This confession reveals that God truly abides in us and we in him. Listen to your Bible. In 1 John chapter 4 and the verses 15, 1 John chapter 4 and the verses 15, the Bible reads, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." This confession separates disciples from deceivers. Listen to your Bible. In 2 John chapter 7, 2 John verse 7, 2 John verse 7, the Bible reads, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a world today where people in America suffer derision for confessing Christ, while many individuals elsewhere are being persecuted and killed for confessing the same. So confessing Christ is a bold thing to do because it can cost you a relationship. It can cost you a promotion. It may even cost you a job. It can sully your good name. It can destroy your reputation. It can invite physical and emotional persecution, and or it can contribute to your death. And so as I try to encourage us on tonight, may we have the same boldness of the three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3 and speak regarding our subject this day. O crooked and perverse generation, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our Savior, whom we confess is able to deliver us from your persecution, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, be it known to you that we will not deny our Lord. Let's move on to our third point. Our third point is found in 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9. 1 John, the chapter is 1 and the verses 9. The Bible reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talked about the A. The A is acknowledgement. The B is boldness. The C in confession is cleansing. Confessing our sins is cleansing. This is what we must do when we sin after baptism. You know, the question is always or often asked when someone wants to deny the need for baptism in order to be saved. So, if I sin after I am baptized, do I need to be baptized again? Of course the answer is no, because our Lord has two laws of pardon. He has one for the alien sinner, and he has one for the covenant sinner. The alien sinner must repent and be baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But the covenant sinner must repent and pray, Acts chapter 8, verse 22. The alien sinner must confess Christ per our first point in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. But the covenant sinner must confess his sin, confess his fault, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It is through confession we are removing sin from the soul. This is what cleansing means. However, confessing our sins does more than just cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but it also heals us from this disease of sin, which is actually destroying us. Listen to your Bible. In James chapter 5 and the verses 16, James chapter 5 and the verses 16, the Bible reads, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confessing our sins and faults is necessary because whenever we sin, God already knows, yet he leaves it up to us to seek healing and forgiveness from him through this medium of confession. My brothers and sisters, we have a moral obligation to confess our faults because if we don't, you better believe somebody else will. The Bible is right, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. I want to bring this message to a close by going to our fourth and final point, which is going to be the letter D, and that's found in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, the Bible reads, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We know that confessing Christ is an acknowledgement. Confessing Christ is bold. Confessing our sins is cleansing. And I want to conclude with our fourth and final point on tonight, and that is confessing Christ will be de rigueur. De rigueur. This is what we all must do when Jesus comes again, whether we want it or not. Now, you're probably looking at me strange. I can't see faces, but I can feel you looking at me. And you're probably asking, what is that word you just used? What is de rigueur? Well, de rigueur is a French word meaning out of strictness. It simply means strictly required. It is mandatory. In other words, we don't have a choice on the day of judgment. We will confess Christ, whether we want to or not. We can choose to confess Christ as the Son of the living God or deny him today. We can choose to confess Christ by living a holy and consecrated life or disobey him today. We can choose to confess our sins when we fall short or cover them and have them exposed anyway today. But when it comes to acknowledgement, boldness, and cleanness, we have a choice. But on the day of judgment, de rigueur means we don't and won't have a choice. On that day, atheists will confess Christ. Muslims will confess Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses will confess Christ. The mute will confess Christ. Gnostics will confess Christ. The unbelieving will confess Christ. The Bible says every tongue of man that day will confess Jesus is Lord. Listen to your Bible. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible reads, therefore, God has highly exalted him, that is Jesus, and bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Of God the Father. So, my friends, don't wait until it's too late. If we confess him now, salvation is near. But if we confess him on that day, salvation will be unavailable. The choices are clear. Either we can confess him voluntarily now or confess him involuntarily on judgment. Be wise and confess him now while we still have time. Thank you for your time and attention on tonight. God loves you, I do too. Let's have a great evening in the Lord.